Stuff and things.
Stuff and things, 2023.
It's 2024.
I was talking about for 2023.
What year is it?
Let's check that out.
Let's get those cogs turning.
So,
what's new?
Things. Everything. Everything's new. No, I'm still doing the same shit I was last year.
What was the last time we did one of these?
When we said we were going to do them again?
October.
I guess we did do one later, didn't we?
Yeah. 4 months later, we're doing another one. That's not so bad.
One every quarter. That's what we got. One every quarter.
Yeah, there you go. But we talked about the fall of AAA games and the rise of indie games.
That's right.
It's a very, very big topic that's still being discussed today. But we were there first in 2023. We're the hipsters.
Y'all. So, Glitrix, the TTRPG I've been working on for in between 3 and 4 years. Had some off time due to motivation, but we got the motivation back.
Nice.
And I've completed all the main stuff of the game, basically. All the classes, the game systems and everything needed to actually play it for the most part. I just need to do like items and stuff and get that stuff rolling. But Kickstarter starting on February 28th, depending on when this comes out, that may be before or after. But February 28th going until April 2nd at midnight.
For those who don't know what the Glitrix is.
For those who don't know, Glitrix is a tabletop role-playing game that is very close and reminiscent of Dungeons & Dragons, heavily inspired with different mechanics and different ways they're used and all new classes. Pretty much my own game, but it's based in the far future. Yeah, it makes more sense when you read the actual stuff. I'm not good at explaining things.
You're good at putting it down on the page, but you're not good at saying it out loud.
Yeah, no. I know how to explain the rules. The rules are easy to explain. It's the difference between telling a story and telling how something is. I'm not a storyteller, but I can tell you how it is.
That's fair. Absolutely. But that's exciting, though. You built a tabletop RPG, and what is the Kickstarter for?
To acquire an artist. So I can pay for an artist to get all the pretty arts in the book to make it something I can be proud of and to be able to want to hand down to other people.
I like it. That's awesome. So get money, get an artist, get a kick-ass book.
I'm telling you, it's jobs. We gotta get jobs. Then we get the khakis. Then we get the chicks. Starting tomorrow, we gotta stop playing games.
But yeah, as I was saying, you can find it up on Kickstarter, and you can find it pretty much on any social at Baby Bard Games and the Kickstarter itself for Glitrix TTRPG.
Awesome, dude. Well, that is very exciting. I'm very excited for you. This has been years in the making, and you are starting to see the end of your journey, and pretty soon the world will be able to have fun and play this tabletop role-playing game.
Yep, I'm trying to aim for that by the beginning of next year, or January at the latest.
Why are you going from February 28th to April 2nd?
Because the 2nd's my birthday. I want it to end on my birthday.
Yay! That actually sounds pretty epic, actually. I like that.
It was because it's a 30-day, you can do anything from 30 to 60 days, and they say 30 is usually the best, but my birthday is only like a couple days after it would end, so I'm like, I'll just have it end on my birthday.
Well, Derp, I wanted to talk to you about Twitch.
Yes.
I have recently started to realize how much I am not on Twitch anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a night and day difference of what it used to be. Like, I used to live in Twitch. You know, I'd watch other channels. I'd participate in other channels. I love meeting new people. And you and I have grown a huge community because of Twitch.
Mm-hmm.
For that, I'm completely thankful for. But for over the years, I'm starting to see my participation in Twitch start to dwindle.
Yeah,
and it's a strange time. It's a strange thing to think about because for years Twitch was my cable.
Yeah, and we're getting old.
Yeah, I mean Twitch was better than cable. You know, I didn't care about watching TV or streaming shows. All I wanted was to be on Twitch. talk to people on Twitch, be a part of Twitch,
yeah,
play games on Twitch. It's one thing to look back and be like, wow, we raided a lot of people, friends of friends. The community would connect with one another. You know, we play games. It was a loving and supporting community, and it completely changed my world. But a lot of the streamers that I used to watch don't stream anymore.
Or they've gone off to do their own thing.
Yeah. You know, there's some who still do, though. And many have gone to, and they stream on occasion, you know, every now and again, which is cool. And I understand people have lives and people change and times change. It's a part of life. But over the years, Twitch has changed, but for better or for worse, though, right?
Yeah.
But we were there when it was young. It was a young and growing platform, and we kind of grew with it. But now it just feels empty. It's different now. It's just, I don't know. I'm starting to realize that Twitch isn't fulfilling me the way it used to. And I have been starting to realize how much I have been changing too because I've been getting older.
Yeah.
The reason why I'm bringing all this up is I think I'm finally ready to admit to myself that I think I need to take a break from Twitch.
That's fair.
Now, that being said, I also want to reiterate, I love our community. I love our followers. I am thankful for everyone who's given you and me nothing but love and support over the years. But because Twitch isn't the same anymore when we started, I'm just not having as much fun with it as I used to. And as much as we're both about to turn, what, 40?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I've been realizing how much my priorities are changing. My focuses on my personal and professional life have been changing. And I'm starting to realize that I want to focus on different things in my life. Physical and mental health is a big part of it. Personal and professional growth are also a part of it. But that being said, as much as I'm going to take a break from Twitch, I still want to be a part of the paradigm. There's still that things that I enjoy doing and that I would like to continue to do in the paradigm. But I also want to explore things in the paradigm that I've always wanted to try or things that I've never thought of trying. For example, I love the CODcast.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely love the CODcast. I miss the CODcast. I miss talking with you. I miss chatting about random shit and having a fun and blast with it. I want to do more of that.
Yeah, like I said, I always enjoy talking and chilling. I mean, it's a good stress, de-stressor. Can rant and rave about bullshit.
Absolutely. And a lot of people seem to still enjoy the CODcast. And, you know, every now and again, we'll get somebody to be like, hey, when's the next episode? And you're like, busy. Eh. But I love this. I miss this, and I want to do more with this. That's one thing that I still want to do. And I still love video editing, and I still love making videos, but I want to make stuff that's beyond just clips and highlights, you know? I enjoy the highlights, but I'm starting to wanting to branch off and try different things with the video side of it. And I want to write more.
I mean, you know how to do that.
Yeah, I know. But I really do. I want to write more.
We all know and love the general blue wall of text.
Yeah, the blue rants. I could probably turn Paradigm Reflections and have that be its own section and have a separate section and call it Blue Rants. I don't know. It'd be fun to lend perspectives on just about anything. It doesn't have to be video games. And sometimes, like, no. Blue just wants to rant about something, or Blue wants to shine light on something. I don't know. And I bring this up because every time I'm on Twitch, I have fun when I'm on it. I don't know. Part of me kind of misses the old days, but I know those days are gone. And everyone's moved on with their lives and they're doing different things. And the people who are still on Twitch and having fun, I love that. And I lurk a lot, but it depends on who's on. The most people I still really watch is either you or the Swamp.
Yep.
Every day is a new day. Every year brings something new. And you always want to challenge yourself. And I do that a lot with my summer events and my anniversary streams. And I'm about to hit 7 years on Twitch being a streamer. And I think that's an amazing milestone. When you start to not have as much fun with it, then, and it starts to become work, I think maybe it's time to switch things up, right?
Yeah, completely agree. Gotta take care of that brain.
And that's kind of where I'm at, but I wanted you to hear it directly from me. Like this, see my face, hear my voice.
I see your face.
And I wanted you to hear it this way instead of just reading it in a note.
Yeah.
And be like, hey, Dirt, love you, but I quit. But it's like, no, I'm not quitting. I just...
No, I get that.
I just...
I understand.
I want to still do stuff with this community we built and the things we do out of it. I want to do different things, and I want to focus on different things in my life. But I still want the paradigm to be a part of it. I just don't know what completely. I just have an idea of areas I want to focus on, like I've described. And Discord. I still love Discord. I would love to see what more we could do with it. I don't know what more we can do with it. But that's not to say we can't do something more with it. We have so many people who chat with us all the time, every day, and it's a blast. And I absolutely love that. And we still connect with people that way. I still connect with you that way. Fuck, we're doing this right here. We're talking through through Discord video chat. So this is awesome.
If this wasn't one way, there would be another way we would do this.
Exactly. And I think in the last episode, we says we're always going somewhere, but the paradigm's going nowhere.
I mean, hey, I'm not gonna like try and go,
hey, no, you do this now. You do as we're supposed to be done. Blah, blah, blah.
No. And it's a noticeable thing, and I could see that without seeing you. So
what is a noticeable thing?
The Twitch.
Oh, okay.
And it's all good. We have our life. We need to do the things we need to do, and you take care of you.
No, that's not to say I won't ever stream again.
I get it. You just do what you want to do, what you want to do when you want to do it.
Okay.
Don't be expected that you need to be on the platform.
Okay.
And there's other places we have our platform. It don't matter.
Exactly. I kind of want to just try other stuff, spread it out. And hey, there's not to say that you and I still I can't join you in a game if you're streaming. So
exactly. Nothing like that changes.
No, it doesn't. But it's. I think it's also healthy to realize something and you want to do better for yourself. And that's me admitting that, coming to terms with that, and sharing that. And that's not an easy thing to do.
I get it. I understand. You're still in other places. It's not like you're gone or community's gone or we're going.
No. I just want to shift my priorities.
You're in other places.
And I want to change my focus. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I get that. I wasn't trying to sound egotistical, but over the past few months, I can tell you're not having as much fun when I pop in on stream or something like that. Like, I can see the difference in energy.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good to see. People from the outside looking in get to see a perspective I don't. So it's actually nice to hear that you started to see a change, which means it wasn't just me going crazy.
Nope. You're not going crazy.
All right. Well, on a less you heard it first here on CogCast Serious Note, why don't we mix it up?
Hey, you want a new TTRPG? Well, we got the Glitchic for you. Make sure you go over to the Kickstarter that's starting on the February 28th around 6 a.m. CST. Go ahead and go on up there. Just type in GLITCHRIX space TTRPG and just click on there and make sure that you support that Kickstarter, whether it be monetary or just sharing it along with your friends. We love you.
Sponsored by Glitchic Games. Copyright 2024.
Something like that?
Yeah, there you go.
I like it.
That works.
I like it.
Perfect. Perfect.
Well, cool. Was there anything else you want to talk about before we head into the meat and potatoes of this topic?
Why you got to come in hard like that? I didn't even know what was going on.
I know. I catch you in the spotlight, didn't I? I was just like, I'm about to drop a bomb on him.
We're doing a podcast. Motherfucker, I'm bringing some fucking feels.
We're doing it live. Fuck it. No, I looked at...
We're doing it live.
I didn't mean to throw off your world, but at the same time, I'm like, look, you get to see my face, I get to see your face, you get to hear my voice, and I'm like, dude, I gotta talk to you, but this is...
I get you.
Because it concerns the paradigm, I thought this would also make for a very good episode.
Welcome to the Paradigm Society. By the way, Blue's not gonna do this thing anymore.
It starts playing like some very sad music.
You too can support your own personal Blue Nile by dialing 1-800-FUCK-WATER. What?
Oh my god, 1-800, wow. 1-800-FUCK-WATER. I like that. That's good. that's good. Here's something I thought would be fun. I had a lot of fun doing movie nights for Summer of Bond, and I was like, I'd love to do a movie night again in Discord. Maybe bi-weekly on every Wednesday or something. I don't know. I want to do more with the community in that sense.
That's why I have anime nights on Sunday. And it's been so, I try to stay religious to it every Sunday, except when I forget.
Hey, maybe I can actually join you this time for anime nights on Sundays. Well, since we haven't done one of these, it's now 2024, we should get to the main topic at hand, that is...
Oh, our top games of 2023.
So it's still February. It's still early. It's 2024. Everyone's already done their list of favorite games of 2023, but this is our first episode of 2024. So I think we have the leeway to be like, you know what?
Get on our level. Get on our level.
Exactly. Get on our level. I want to talk about the stuff that I enjoyed last year. But I have a couple of runner-ups that I want to talk about before I get to my top three. How many honorable mentions do you have? Do you have any?
When I wrote them down, I had three, but really, it could be two.
I also wrote three.
Oh, okay. Well, then it's three and three.
All right. Honorable mentions. What do you got?
Well, my lowest one, just because it was right at the end of the year, and I played through it, and the campaign portion of it was really short, which is basically just a tutorial, and then you just go and do stuff and build on your own. It's House Flipper 2.
They made a sequel?
Yeah. It came out right at the end of the year, and it had a little mini campaign where you basically do a bunch of stuff. It's a tutorial, and then you flip this one main house that's the ugliest house in the area, and then that's the end of the game.
Wow. They made a sequel? What do they add in this one?
The way the tools work are different. Added some quality of life things. It had an actual campaign, I guess.
Okay.
Sort of.
All right.
But it's basically the same game. They just, the way things work are a little bit different.
That's neat. I like it. They made a sequel?
They made a sequel.
I don't know why I'm so surprised by that. I know it was a popular game.
You know what I just thought of?
What?
I haven't thought about it in so long. Just by off of, they made a sequel, saying that multiplied made me think of, you know the great thing about Alzheimer's?
You meet new people every day.
You get to meet new people every day.
That's so great. I do let my friend Mike know on occasion that you still chuckle at that joke.
I do. I still love it. It has to be one of my favorite distasteful jokes.
Well, my honorable mention, Diablo 4.
All right.
Well, I mean, the hype surrounding the game was real. I was excited.
My
coworkers were excited. You were excited. I mean, hell, the Paradigm community.
Everyone
the Paradigm
was
community.
Excited.
Yeah, we all were excited. It was on, man. So I had just finished playing Diablo 2 and Diablo 3 on the Switch, which I absolutely just had a blast playing. I dove right into both of those. I got all hyped up and ready for 4. And what did they reveal?
Hey!
And the sexy devil chick named Lilith.
Yeah,
I beat the campaign and I really enjoyed it. And I got the game to work on my Steam Deck. By installing the Battle.net launcher, which is really cool.
Yeah.
The seasonal content looks kind of, and I haven't touched it in a while, but for a game that hyped everybody up, got everybody excited, and I got a chance to play it and beat it, that was a big deal for me, and that's why it's an honorable mention.
Yes. Okay. That is fair.
Yeah.
Well, it could have been a lot better. Like, it didn't hold my attention very long once you get to near, when you beat the campaign.
Yeah, I agree. Actually, I didn't hate the game. I still loved what I played, but I absolutely loved my time with Diablo 3 on the Switch.
And recently, the ARPG I started actually last night, Last Epoch.
Oh, yeah?
It's been in early access for a few years, but it did a full release this week.
Yeah.
On the 21st or 20th. That's really good. It feels like Path of Exile, but up to date.
Yeah.
And even Path of Exile 2, it looks like it's going to be amazing.
So Diablo got me back into liking ARPGs.
I've always loved ARPGs.
And I would love to tell you that you have no idea until now that I purchased The Last Epoch 2 days ago.
So did I. Or yesterday. Just yesterday.
My coworkers talking about it, because I used to try to play with my coworkers on Diablo 4. They were hyping it up all the time, and then they all kind of stopped playing too.
Yeah.
And then out of nowhere, you know, they're like, "The Last Epoch's coming out." And I was like, "Wait a minute, I remember hearing about that." And we were talking about it. I finally saw the trailer for it, and I was like, "Fuck, I'm buying this now." So I did. Yeah,
I didn't when it went to early access, because it went to early access like 2019 or something like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Maybe 2020. And it was not great at that time.
Yeah.
It was not great.
Yeah.
It looked pretty bad. I was like, no, I'm good. And then I started seeing a lot more recent videos of it when it was nearing release, and it looked so much better. And it is.
It does seem to be getting a lot of generating a lot of hype online, which I think is really cool. I haven't played it yet, and I'm probably going to do that this maybe later tonight or this weekend. But yeah, I bought it a couple days ago, and I'm ready to try something new.
It's pretty cool.
What was your other honorable mention?
Dredge.
Dredge?
Yeah, where you were basically this old fish dude on a fishing boat that you ran around the ocean, and there was like an eldritch horror underneath the ocean itself. It's like you have to go and fish stuff up and fight this big evil thing that's under the water. It's hard to explain, but you're basically a boat on the ocean water, and you sail around dredging up stuff.
Oh, I see. Actually, I just pulled it up on my phone. A fishing video game developed by Black Salt Games, published by Team 17. All right. The game follows a fisherman who encounters increasingly Lovecraftian creatures as he ventures further into an open-world archipelago.
Yep. Good game.
Is it?
Yep. It has a Dave the Diver DLC now, too.
Oh, heck yeah. Heck yeah. That's what's up, dude. I'll have to check that out. My next honorable mention? Terminator Resistance.
That was the first-person one that I was playing at one point on stream, right?
Yes, yes. I played the Enhanced Edition on PS5. They were having a sale, and you know how much I love the Terminator franchise.
Oh, yeah. So yeah, for sure.
So when it was finally on a decent sale, I was like, let's give it a try. And this game completely blew me away, completely surprised me. It literally feels like a Fallout game set in the Terminator universe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you get dialogue choices, you get crafting abilities, you get a skill tree, and you get a really cool futuristic, like a story, a fun story that takes place in the future, like the future wars.
Yeah.
And most Terminator stuff, it's like, we're from the future, we go back in time trying to prevent the future, but here you're literally trying to survive the Terminator onslaught of them wiping out humanity, and it is awesome. It is awesome.
It got great scores. I think even on Steam right now, it's like very positive reviews overall on that game.
I like the experience. I hope they make more games just like it, because that was cool. Terminator can be good when written well, and as a game form, I think it works great for that medium.
118 recent reviews, very positive. All reviews, very positive, 11,243.
Nice. Yeah, I do feel like even like the dialogue choices and the crafting abilities, it was simpler. It wasn't over the top crazy like some of the like it was like a base level of what Fallout 3 was, like simpler than that, but it was enough to get you to customize your weapons, which I thought was cool, and to get people to get on your side or to tell them to go fuck off. But whatever your choices were, also it was actually kind of neat when you started to realize that some of your dialogue choices, you could get into bed with some of these people.
Hi, baby. I noticed you have braces. I have braces too.
Was like, did not see that coming. Hey,
well.
It's like humanity's about to end, baby. There's a Terminator on the other side. Want to make a kid? We need to protect humanity. We need to repopulate the species. Let's go.
Get out of her now. That was a terrible use of word, a joke. It sounded funnier in my head.
Ah, that's good.
Instead of get out of here, get out of her now.
Get out of here. You know what? We're going to roll with it. That's great.
Okay, then next. 9 years of shadow.
That was that side scroller.
Yes, the Metroidvania-esque game.
Yes, Very colorful, very crazy.
It was black and white to start, and then as you get this little bear that gives color around the world. Last boss sucked, though. It was good, though.
I actually remember you playing the last boss. I remember watching this.
It was a pain in the ass because I'm colorblind, and it had a lot of color-based attacks that I couldn't see properly. But it was a good game. Combat was smooth. The jumping, the platforming was good. It felt good. Didn't feel floaty. The bosses they had were fairly easy. It wasn't too hard, but it wasn't really easy to where it was... I mean, you could get through it in a few shots on each boss at most. You don't have to spend like an hour or two on each one. And then the final boss was the only biggest pain in the ass. And that was just... the colors and mechanics were a little overbearing, it felt like. But aside from that, it was good. Nice. Really, really good.
My final honorable mention is probably going to shock you.
Probably. You're good at that.
Resident Evil 4 Remake. It did not make my top three.
I can see possibly why, because it's... I mean, it's just a prettier version of the original.
Right. I mean, when the game first came out, my first question was, how do you remake a perfect game?
Yeah.
And second, why is this not in my top three considering my love of the franchise? Well, I didn't want it in my top three is because I haven't finished the Ada DLC. I haven't even started it yet. I was kind of intended on streaming it, but then I didn't. And then life happened and I stopped streaming. And I felt like my backlog got bigger. And I want to play the game to enjoy it. So the game overall is amazing, though. I mean, I enjoyed it a lot. They made many quality of life improvements. Ashley. And, excuse me. And I feel the game complements the original very well. And I don't feel like they ruined Resident Evil 4. I feel like they added on top of what made the original great. And they made certain areas bigger. Like, I love the lake area. The lake area is so cool. And the merchant side quests are really, really fun. And the rewards that you get in it now, they really make you want to upgrade your gear as much as possible. So it's a combination between playing the game, really enjoying playing the game, and then going through the story versus 4. It's like, oh my god, it's like an intense, you never get a break story, but here you have more ways to play. So I love what they did, and I do want to finally play the Ada DLC. All right, well, that was all of my honorable mentions. And that brings us to the top three of my favorite games of 2023, starting with Derp.
Dave the Diver. Yeah.
Sploosh.
It's a great 2D game full of water, which if you haven't played it, I don't understand your love for water anymore. No, it's just satisfying. You go underwater, you can only hold your you can only have your breath for so long with the tank size you have. And then you have to go back up and you just basically harpoon fish and catch them and then you sell them for money, and then more little mechanics come into play, like fish farms, farming other things, and then you run a sushi shop on top of that every night after going fishing. It's just a weird combination of things, but it's just well animated.
Okay.
The cutscenes that they put into everything are very anime style, but it's all in this weird pixel 2D.
It's like the art style when I saw the trailer for it.
No, it's a lot of fun. I think you would enjoy that game just for what it is. As a chill, sit down and just play a game that doesn't require too much thinking.
I do try to find games like that these days, I'm noticing. I'm really loving the chill aspect of just wanting to hang out, chill, sit down. And now that I have a Steam Deck too, I think that might actually be great on my Steam Deck.
Yes. Yes, it would. Perfect game.
Cool. All right. Now, all right, so I've said this before about Resident Evil 4, how do you make a perfect game? My number three is Dead Space Remake.
That I actually don't even... Or do I have that one now? I can't remember, but I haven't even played that yet.
Dead Space, like the original first Dead Space game, was amazing. It was Resident Evil 4 in space.
That was the triple S tier. That was a quadruple A game before quadruple A Skull and Bones came out.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
Shots fired.
Shots fired. He went there. Just little poke the stick. Like, just had to talk about Skull and Bones. Love it. Love it. All right, but when it comes to the Dead Space remake, look, I was completely skeptical when they announced it. I was still skeptical when they showed the trailer. But when I bought it, I was curious. I ended up falling in love with this version. I mean, when people make remakes, it's my approach to remakes in general is like I'm not looking for a game to replace what came before it. I'm looking for something that honors what came before it and builds on top of it. And that's kind of what I was been looking at with, like, even Resident Evil 2 remake or Resident Evil 3 remake, right? Or even Resident Evil 1 remake on GameCube that they eventually ported. Like
Resident Evil 1 remake was really good, and I get that 2 and 3 were good, but from my understanding, even though I haven't completed either of those either, are much less in a way than the originals.
There's a lot of people on online, Twitter, YouTube, social media, just, you know, debates, especially on Twitter, now formerly known as Twitter, it's now X. But anyway, I follow a lot of Resident Evil pages on X, Twitter, and I see the back and forth all the time, because now that the dust has settled, the game's been out for a while, and people can analyze it more. You know, they have a lot more, they have different opinions now, they have a lot more to say about it, which is great, but My approach to even just Resident Evil 2 remake, 1, 2, and 3 remake is like, look, I'm not looking for these things to replace the originals, but are they a good companion to the original? And the Dead Space remake was like, okay, aside from the graphical overhaul of the Dead Space remake,
which was phenomenal, by the way.
What I enjoyed about this was their approach to the main character, Isaac. They actually gave him a voice in this game. Like he didn't have a voice in the original game. He was a silent protagonist.
Yeah, grunts.
Yeah, and then they gave him a voice in 2 and 3. And I'm like, okay, so here's a different way to approach the original game, is literally giving him a voice. And it added more depth to the story and his experience on the ship. So it with him having his own voice doesn't leave much of the imagination. I felt you identify with his character a bit more. And it helped serve the story well, too, because in this remake, they added in more lore from 2 and 3. In terms of notes and just the way things unfolded, right? And here's the best part. Is the game still scary?
Yes.
Scared the shit out of me. And I've played the original a few times, and that's still scary. But playing the remake, you think like, oh, I can handle this. No, they still got me quivering in my boots and screaming out loud like a girl. And it's they had me holding my
little girl.
I was holding my breath. I always was worried what was lurking around the corner. And overall, it was a blast. But it won't ever replace the original experience I had, but it did complement it very well. Loved it.
That is good. I've fallen off of scary games. I don't feel like wanting to piss my pants anymore. There's going to be a day where I don't have any more bowel control, and it's just going to be I get scared and they're shit.
Hey, you know, that just goes to show that you're aging, you're maturing, your mind's changing, you're into different things, right? Like, when you got me into Resident Evil 2, I think I was addicted to the adrenaline. I think I was an adrenaline junkie.
Yep.
And then, you know what Resident Evil has become for me since then, though? It isn't about the scares. It's a soap opera.
Yeah, it's your soap opera. It's your soaps.
I care about what happens to these characters. I want to know
This is your Days of Our Lives.
Yep. I think Chris Redfield's going to get bitten by a zombie, realize he's about to turn, and he's going to blow his own head off, and he's going to make it a dramatic exit on his own terms. That's going to be a soap opera moment.
Chris? Stop it. Wesker, you're pitiful.
Resident Evil 12.
Hungering.
You know who's going to be the main villain of that game?
Resurrected from the grave, Steve Burnside.
Wait. Don't shoot.
I'm gonna be real, his tyrant form was amazing. The game that made me think of Marty McFly, and somebody said something else too, what it reminded him of, but Hi-Fi Rush. The The main character of Hi-Fi Rush made me think of Marty McFly.
Wait a minute, Doc! Are you telling me that it's 8:25?
Precisely!
Damn! I'm late for school!
Don't need money!
It's a power of love.
No, but Hi-Fi Rush, if you haven't played or heard of it, it is a not really a rhythm base, but you do bonus damage by doing things to the rhythm of the music, and everything in the world is synchronized with the music as well, so they all go with the beat, and you're fighting through a bunch of robots. You get a robotic arm that gives you power to fight, and it's just really good, and the music is on point.
That's awesome. I've heard nothing but good things about Hi-Fi Rush, and that is one of the games that Microsoft has announced that will be coming to other platforms, aka PS5 and Switch.
Yeah, it's already on Game Pass. That's what I played on, though, was Game Pass.
No, that's cool, though. I hear good things, and it's about to be shared amongst all other areas of console and community, and more people will be able to enjoy it.
Yeah, and that was a game I actually beat on stream, too. I actually beat games, guys.
My number two, The Outer Worlds Spacer's Choice Edition on PS5.
See, that got a lot of flack when it came out. There was some serious stuff wrong with it or something. I can't remember what the reasoning was.
I don't remember. But when I finally played it, look, this is my answer to all the negativity revolving around Starfield. I love the game. It's great. Outer Worlds is great. It's Fallout in space. It's Fallout New Vegas in space. And I got lost in this game hardcore. I couldn't put it down until I beat it and all the DLC. If a game can do that to you, then you're doing something right. And I love it when games hook me like that. So it's...
Oh, Outer Worlds itself was good, but when the Spacer's Choice Edition came out, there was something, like, there was some huge performance issues and some other stuff that happened.
Oh, I played on PS5. There was no performance issues on PS5.
No, it was a PC thing. It got, like, review bombed on Steam or something like that.
Usually when PC games suck is because something's buggy, right? We were talking about that last time, like Jedi Fallen or Jedi Survivor. That was buggy.
Yep.
And other games. Like, PC is not getting the attention that it used to.
Yep.
But when I played the Spacer's Choice Edition on console, I didn't have any issues. It just played. It just, to quote Todd Howard, it just works.
All of this just works. It's not, I'm not kidding. And again, it just works. All of this just works.
It just works. Now, what I love about this game, though, is because it's made by Obsidian Entertainment, who did Fallout New Vegas, so maybe that's one of the reasons why I loved it so much, but the game really did feel like Fallout in space.
Yeah, it does.
The only thing that was missing was the VATS. Like, the VAT system isn't in there because it's not Fallout, but everything else about it is still just fun. There's fun planets to explore, there's great quirky characters, there's great dialogue choices that can take the conversation anywhere, and I don't know, it was just so fun. It was a great gaming experience. It was just so fun, and if I can pick up a game and not want to put it down and beat everything, including the extra content, then that's the top winner in my book. I'm very excited that they are working on a sequel.
Yeah, that's right. They are, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. They did a early teaser trailer for it a couple years ago, but we haven't heard anything about it since. But the trailer was funny.
We begin by hearing an old, wise-sounding voice. And we see a quiet, peaceful setting. This will make our game seem big and important. Now, something must break the serenity. Will this creature be in the game? No, say goodbye to it forever. Suddenly, and for no reason, people running. These pointless slow-motion shots make everything seem cool and should bolster pre-sale numbers. That wah sound can mean only one thing. We must gaze over an epic shot of a world. And there should be lens flares. Now we see our hero. But only their silhouette, because the developers haven't finished the design. Or finished the story. Or finished any gameplay that's actually ready to show. In fact, the only thing they have finished is the title.
Yeah, you never know. It might turn out to be like a Metroid Prime 4.
Sir? Don't play with my heart.
Sorry, I coughed. It was involuntary.
Metroid Prime 4. There's rumors, and I'm starting to hate the internet because I'm tired of reading rumors that says that Metroid Prime 4 rumored to be launched on time for launch of 2024, and I'm just reading those headlines, and I'm like, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Go to hell. I'll wait till Nintendo officially says something. I'm tired.
I'll continue to hold on to my ha 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 until it actually comes out, because I know what I said years ago on the first time the trailer came out.
Yeah, I know. I remember. I was there.
You remember, because I told you what I thought.
Yeah, you said that you thought that they didn't actually have a game and it didn't exist. But 2 years later, they said they basically fired the studio who was doing it and started from scratch. And they gave it to Retro Studios, who was not the original. The original was Platinum Games.
And how many years ago was that, and there's still been nothing about it?
That was also the funny part, too, was when they surprise left field announced Metroid 5, Metroid Dread, they're like, hey, guys, we're still working on Metroid Prime 4, but until then, enjoy this trailer. And then they show Metroid Dread, and you're like, where did this come from? So we haven't heard anything since then.
How many years?
Metroid Prime 4 was announced at E3 2017. 7 years ago. Oh my god. It was announced when I started my Twitch career.
Oh, sorry. I was holding on to those. Let me have those back.
7 years later. It's like 2019, starting from scratch. And then we still know nothing. No pictures, no nothing, no trailer, no announcement. No. We got Dread, though. Dread was great. Love Dread.
Okay, so completely in a serious note, I'm not making fun. This is what I said 7 years ago when this trailer was shown. It was right after people were having an issue wanting Metroid Prime 4, and it was getting ridiculous. And then they said they were announcing something Metroid, right? There was something around it that they said they were going to announce something Metroid, and then they did the title screen for Metroid Prime 4 after there was just a lot of bullshit about Metroid.
Basically, another Metroid 2 remake came out, and then Nintendo sent it a cease and desist. And the community was up in arms because Nintendo wasn't doing anything with their property. They wanted them.
That's okay. That's what it was. And then they did that Metroid Prime 4 thing instantly after that happened. And my words were probably around basic. They did that just to appease the crowd. I don't think there's actually a game being made right now. They just did that to blow smoke up people's ass.
Maybe.
That was what I said.
But right after that, too, we also got Metroid Samus Returns on the 3DS, and that was a big deal. And then they went all out with
games came out. Good games came out for Metroid after that.
Yeah, and then they surprised us with Metroid Dread, but we're still waiting on Metroid Prime 4 because
people want Prime 4. They want that FPS Samus.
I mean, shit, they also came out with the Metroid Prime remaster on the Switch. It looks beautiful. It's the same game but with a reskin and looking great. So I'm like, cool, you're gonna do out the other games and we're still gonna have to wait for Metroid Prime 4? But there's rumors that they're not gonna do that with the other two games.
Exist.
I know. You're not helping me.
I know, I'm sorry. Just bringing the real. And hey, when the game comes out, then I've been proved wrong.
Yes. When it
comes
out.
But if it's not within the 10-year mark, I think I am free of what I... free. I think I have succeeded in what I said if they take more than 10 years from the time I said it.
I think you might be right.
But if they do it at like the 12, 15-year mark, that's not my fault. They just ran out of ideas. They needed to do it.
Also, they keep rumoring that this is the part that's probably going to make me a little upset, is there's rumors still, but they keep getting more and more amped up about the Switch 2 this year being finally announced. And I'm like, I swear to God, if they actually do announce a Switch 2 and then Metroid Prime 4 comes out for that console, That's stupid.
That's stupid.
They announced it in 2017 coming for the Switch, and then now you're gonna... No, you're gonna get it on the Switch too. Unless they do what they did with Zelda before. Twilight Princess came out on the GameCube and the Wii. And then Breath of the Wild came out on the Wii U and the Switch. So maybe they'll do a thing where Metroid Prime 4 comes out on the Switch and the Switch 2. But Switch 2 will...
You know how Nintendo marketing works.
But Switch 2 will be the enhanced version. It has all the things you actually want on it, so it's going to make you want to buy our console. It's just a pattern I see.
I've never liked Nintendo marketing. You know this.
I know. And I'm not helping your case either. No. I see
Nintendo's
the pattern.
Great. I love Nintendo. Nintendo's great. They need to fix their marketing department.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I see the areas of improvement. I see the code. I see the lady in the red dress. But god damn it, I want to play with the lady in the red dress.
Coming to Full Dive VR in about 10 years. You too can get lost in Sword Art Online.
Well, if to get back on track, it's time for...
Number one.
I'm going to give you one guess. What do you think my number one is?
Hello Kitty Island Adventure.
No. Close.
Elden Ring?
That was 2022.
I know. I didn't know if you're still playing it.
Not until Shadow of the Erdtree. But what is the biggest RPG that came out the last year?
Diablo 4?
Baldur's Gate 3.
Duh, I'm stupid.
And I don't even need to explain it. Bear sex.
Bear sex.
No, legitimately, though, that game is a perfect SRPG. Strategy RPG. It's so good. It's just a great RPG. So many dialogue choices. It can do different things that change the entire game. Just... how many different options you can make in the game compared to any other game that says that you can do it. No one has matched this.
Bear sex.
Bear sex. You can also have sex with a druid who transforms into a bear. Sorry. Welcome to D&D, baby.
Some say that's how Leonardo DiCaprio got his Oscar.
The bear had to pull it out of his ass.
Yep. All right. I apologize for my laughter. Baldur's Gate 3, a very celebrated and acclaimed game.
Larian deserves all the support.
I still want to check it out, because I played about an hour of it, and I did like what I saw.
It's so in-depth.
It
literally is. You can do one thing 80 different ways.
That's exciting. That's really cool.
The game's ridiculous. It's so good, though.
How many hours have you sunk into it?
I haven't beaten it. I got to the beginning of Act 2. That's where a lot of people seem to fall off at times with the game. Unless they actually... you know, are addicted to it. I only got to Act 2, though I did play a few hours with R when he was streaming it.
Okay.
So I probably put about 52 hours into 1.5 acts. What about you? What are you doing for
number one?
Well, after I completed the second game, my number two choice game, which was The Outer Worlds, I was like, what do I do with my life now? Well, this is where my number one pick comes in, and that is No Man's Sky.
Yeah. No, it's a good game.
Now, okay, so here's the thing. This is why it's my number one for 2023. and it's probably still going to make my top 10 of 2024. So I got this game in PS4 back in the day. I remember when you streamed it on Twitch when you first got it on computer back in the day, and it was a completely different experience, right?
Yeah.
I've dabbled in it when I picked it up on PS4, but I never quite understood the game. I just didn't get it. I got lost too easily. My mind wandered to other games. But with all the significant updates they kept making, I kept watching what they were doing. New stuff. Oh, that's getting better. People are talking about it. I like that. And it wasn't until, surprisingly, and I think I brought this up in our previous episode, was my mother discovered it on her own and then was telling me about it. And she was gushing about it.
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
And she just kept telling me how much fun she was having with it. And I was like, all right, I haven't touched this game in years. And she's excited. I should probably check it out. So for the first time in my life, I'm taking my mother's recommendation on a video game, which is not the other way around. And that was kind of cool.
Like, how'd that feel?
I don't know. Because this game's my number one and I'm still playing it, I think she wins.
It's like, shut up, Mom. I'm playing my game.
Well, we were talking about the anger that the world was feeling about Starfield on various levels, and our alternatives we were discussing was, you brought up, hey, just play No Man's Sky, and my alternative was like, oh, just play The Outer Worlds. At the time, I was playing The Outer Worlds, but after I finished, I wanted to do more, and then I played No Man's Sky. And I haven't found a game that just grabbed my attention like this in such a long time, and Derp, I have put over 100 hours into that, and you know me.
That's huge for you.
Exactly. You know me. I don't do that. Over 100 hours. I've built two bases on two different planets, and one of them is 10 times bigger than my first base. I love exploring planets. I love collecting things. I love starship dogfights. I love the item collecting, because the item collecting has a purpose. You get to whatever you collect. You can do stuff with it. You can make stuff with it. You can make your equipment better. You can make your ship better. You can make your base better. And I'm still playing it. I'm still addicted. And this game can be whatever you want. Today, I just want to wander planets and find stuff. Or today, I want to go out and I want to hunt pirates and shoot them down. Or today, I want to build my base.
Dude, they've done so many updates, and it is the biggest labor of love there that exists.
Yeah, and it shows. And I'm never bored in this game. So that's also one of the things I started to realize, that I think my tastes in games are also changing, because I'm loving how chill it is and how it could be whatever you want it to be.
You should try a survival crafting game at some point.
Yeah, I did try to play The Forest with you once.
Yeah, The Forest is some different. That's more of a horror-esque type. You don't need to stress yourself out that much, but like, pick up a nature game like...
I tried Stranded Deep, but I kept dying.
I mean, Grounded is good, too.
Yeah, we did have fun with Grounded.
Grounded, small world, where you play as fairies running around in the forest.
I'm also looking forward to Hello Games' next game after No Man's Sky.
Light No Fire?
Yeah.
Oh my god, dude.
Yeah. That, like, it's literally the size of our Earth, is what they say.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you think about it, all the planets that are in that system there, this is easy mode. They're just, like... There are so many planets in friggin' No Man's Sky.
There are.
So literal ground space is way bigger than our Earth with how many planets there are.
But the more you play No Man's Sky, the more you start to realize that as much as I'm exploring a different planet with different conditions,
doesn't feel different.
They all have the same base level agriculture. I mean, yeah, you got to scan items, but you still get the same... You still get your carbon, you still get your ferrite, you still get all the basic stuff. It's just you find more of it on one planet versus another based off its conditions. Where the Light No Fire looks like it can have something, it's going to have something different, but it's going to have a lot more going on with it for just one planet. And I think I'm excited to see what that is.
Yeah, and I think some of it will be more handcrafted, while some of it will be procedurally generated. It'll be a mix of the two, probably.
That's what I'm thinking, too. Well, that was our top games of 2023.
Yeah, we doing it.
We here, we doing it. What games are you looking forward to playing this year?
Oh my god, dude.
I have a very small list because I don't see anything coming out that it really excites me, except for the end of next week when Final Fantasy VII Rebirth comes out.
I'm hyped for, but it's not like on my list of ones that I need to play right now because I still haven't finished up the first one.
Which is understandable. I did, and I loved it, and I cannot wait to play the next one. So I'm for sure getting that one. But other than that, I don't know really else. What else is out there these days that's coming that I'm excited for?
I'm waiting for Path of Exile 2.
That's this year?
There's a beta test this year. It could release at the end of the year, but it might be next year that it actually comes out.
All right. Very cool. Awesome.
So, yeah. It's been lovely talking to you, sir.
No, it's been good talking to you.
Anything else you want to talk to the camera about?
No, not really. Just, well. If there's anything I'm going to tell to the camera, which is everybody listening, because, you know, people hear with cameras. No, I'm kidding. See, we can see each other. They can
if they read lips, yes.
Right. They can't see us. They'll only hear us. But you can see me. So, but no, I don't know. I don't have the right words to say this. I don't know where the words are, but it's just like, look, I love the paradigm. I love what we do here. I love that people still enjoy the content that we make. I just hope that, you know, people can... I just hope that the community understands that me taking a break from Twitch is me not quitting Paradigm or quitting Twitch completely, but I have new things I need to work on. I have priorities that I need to work on, and I'm not going anywhere. I'm just changing things up. So I just hope that I hope that's okay with the community. Does that make sense?
Look, we love them. They love us. They just want you to survive.
Oh yeah, but I still want to do fun things. So. Let's talk about doing another CODcast soon, and let's talk about what we want to do next for games. I kind of miss playing Lethal Company with you. We should do that at some point.
That was fun. We should do mods, though.
Yeah?
We should get some mods. There's some quality of life mods and map mods and stuff that add a lot of fun maps into it. But I think we have to all have the same mods, otherwise it glitches it.
Okay. Yeah, we could look into that. That'd be totally cool.
I'm going to miss seeing your pretty face on Twitch, sir.
Yeah, I know. That's okay.
I got to see a pretty face in here.
Hey, man, it's something. It's something. Hey, look on the bright side, though. I mean, you'll still be able to catch me.
At the drop of a paradigm. Okay.
Is she okay?
She's only hearing my side of the conversation, so she's worrying about everything.
Tell her it's all gonna be okay. It's all gonna work out.
He's done for Twitch for now. He's taking a break and not gonna be doing Twitch anymore. He's gonna go do other things on the channel with his own thing. We're just discussing that, so you're okay. You're okay.
She's not crying, is she?
She was worried.
Okay, good. I was like, no, I'm not trying to break people's hearts here. I'm so sorry, Rain. I'm still going to be around. I'm just changing my priorities on Paradigm.